This is Howe's New York with New York real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight, Howe's New York welcomes Dom Gervasi of Made in Brooklyn Tours. Stay tuned for Bob. About a multitude of topics, including real estate, community, politics, and any hot topic of the day. We are broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a potential audience stretching from Longyear Buyer, Norway, to Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. I'm here with my executive producer, Jason Versace, of Rising Tide Marketing. We have as our guest tonight, Dom Gervasi. Dom is the owner of a company called Made in Brooklyn Tours. Dom, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me on your show, Robert.
We're happy to have you. You are a unique entrepreneur, and we thought it was only appropriate that we shared your talents with all of Brooklyn, as you share all of Brooklyn with all of your clients. Dom, tell us, Brooklyn is hot all of a sudden, and you are tapping into that energy. What happened that we became hot all of a sudden?
Well, I think people are starting to get to know Brooklyn, and, you know, just like with anything, as you get to know something, you begin to love it. I've always loved Brooklyn. I know Brooklyn very well. I know my neighborhood very well, and because I know it so well, I love it, and I think today, people are starting to come to Brooklyn. Maybe they come there for financial reasons, or they want to make it in Brooklyn, coming from other parts of the country. And as a result, they're getting to know Brooklyn better and better and falling in love with it, and the word is getting out.
Yes, I guess as we look closer at Brooklyn, we see all of the aspects that it has to offer, and, you know, we appreciate it. It comes almost under these... the topic of these staycations that people are doing now. They're saying, I don't necessarily need to go 500 miles from my hometown. I can stay locally and see just as many unique and interesting things as if I travel by air or car to cities or even other countries.
I think that's very insightful, okay, because, in fact, to design these tours, I had to really go on staycation. So I was visiting Williamsburg, Dumbo, Red Hook, and getting to know these neighborhoods. There are over 90 neighborhoods in Brooklyn. When people say Brooklyn, they kind of think of it as one gigantic neighborhood. But the reality is that they're all different. They all taste different. They all have flavors. And for me, I spent the summers, you know, in these different neighborhoods. And these are neighborhoods that, when I was a kid, really were off limits. They were dangerous neighborhoods. It was a different time. There was a higher crime rate. And today, these neighborhoods don't really look anything like what they were like in the 70s and 80s. There's a lot of new blood that has gone into these neighborhoods and have remade them in a way that is much more accessible. So I in fact, have gone on staycations in these neighborhoods to learn what's there today and to learn their history. And I was delighted because at first, in some cases, I was maybe disappointed to see the changes in the architecture in the neighborhood as all these condominiums go up. But then as I looked deeper, I got to know the people who are in these neighborhoods who are somehow making it. And I would say that on my tours, you don't just come to see Brooklyn, you get to know Brooklyn. At the end of my tours, the guests feel like they're more like a member of the community. In fact, many of my guests are from the very neighborhoods that they go on tours to visit. So it's kind of interesting to have people who have moved to Red Hook or to Williamsburg come on my tours to get to know the people in their neighborhood who are making it.
You know, Brooklyn for a while, as you mentioned, in the 70s and 80s, even though it had a worldwide reputation, that reputation was of a toughness and a grittiness. But I guess that has changed and become a little softer and a little safer. And, you know, Brooklyn is now on the map. Whenever you pick up a travel magazine or a business magazine, Brooklyn is the place that a lot of things are happening.
Yeah, I think that resilience is still there. I mean, if an office gets, if a spot gets too expensive for a proprietor of a business, they'll move to another neighborhood in Brooklyn. They're not going to necessarily leave Brooklyn entirely, for example. I just recently designed and produced the Made in Bensonhurst tour, and Bensonhurst has businesses that have been sticking it out for well over 35 years. And those are the businesses that are on my tour. So I think that resilience is still there. That grittiness is still there. But there is now, like I said earlier, this new blood coming in that recognizes the potential that Brooklyn has to offer its products to not just other parts of New York City, but to other parts of the country and perhaps other parts of the world.
And we have to get you down on 3rd Avenue, Tom, because we have some businesses down here in the 50, 60-plus range that have been in continuous operation, also in Bay Ridge.
Absolutely. I live in Bay Ridge, as you know. I live between 3rd Avenue and Ridge Boulevard, and there are lots of wonderful places in Bay Ridge. And I can't say enough good things about Bay Ridge. Any kind of food you want to eat, you can get in Bay Ridge, and very well done. And at a price that's affordable and reasonable.
Dom, tell us a little bit about yourself. How you started out, what you did before you did this, and then how you got into this field.
Sure. So for 16 years, I was in sales and business development, working for high tech companies that produce communication systems and information security systems. And I primarily excelled at selling through channels, through business partners, not just in the New York metropolitan area, but also around the country. The first company I worked for, we actually assembled communications cables and other communications infrastructure. And we had a whole factory building these cables and doing quality control and so on. And the last company I worked for, we had one guy in the back just doing service on systems that were made and assembled outside the United States, primarily in China. And I was laid off from that company. They were going through some difficult financial times, as many other companies are. And it was really from an attitude of curiosity. So after that time, I was just wondering, you know, who's making things today in Brooklyn? Who's still, and the word still would come up, who's still making things in Brooklyn today? And I hopped on my bicycle and I rode around all the different neighborhoods in Brooklyn, and I was discovering that Manhattan Special is made in Brooklyn, and Sweet and Low is made in Brooklyn, and I would enter these places. the oldest coffee roaster in the Western Hemisphere, Gilly's Coffee, is in Brooklyn, and I would just ride in, and more times than not, I would meet the owner and ask them about their story and learn about their business, and then I would go home and plot it on a map, and eventually the idea formed to do tours, and I had ideas of doing bus tours or bicycle tours. I really like to ride my bicycle, and I took this course called Fast Track New Venture that's offered by the Small Business Services. And concept crystallized into Made in Brooklyn Tours. And I remember I was driving in my car and thinking of some kind of a motto to go with the name of the company. And I was writing different things down because the word industry or manufacturing will come up. And those aren't very salesy words. And I thought, oh, making it. Who's making it in Brooklyn? See who's making it in Brooklyn. And so that's how the idea crystallized. And then I really did go into these neighborhoods. The first one I did was Red Hook, and learn what's there, and discovered, for example, the largest glass vendor in the Eastern Seaboard is in Red Hook. That's Flickinger Glass. Wonderful person there, Charles Flickinger. He helped to restore the torch for the Statue of Liberty and the clock faces in Grand Central Terminal. And I discovered Steve's authentic key lime pie, very interesting product. He really does make fresh squeezed key lime pie, you know, with key lime.
Down there right on the water.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. And I walked these neighborhoods late at night to see how safe they were, and I paced myself. And eventually I said, okay, time to go to market. Let me see if I could make this happen. And I started to do the tours. And fortunately, early on, I was approached by Groupon. And that was a good thing for me because it got me a lot of experience. I learned how to perfect the tours. I was able to improve the tours. And as a result, I got a lot of really nice reviews on TripAdvisor and Yelp. And it helped to drive business as I designed new tours. And now today I have 4 regular tours. And I think people are starting to get, you know, take notice of what I'm doing. And I get calls all the time from different parts of Brooklyn. And the funny thing about Brooklyn is that if I talk to anybody who's from Brooklyn and I mention that I do tours of Brooklyn, inevitably they'll encourage me, persuade me, maybe try to break my arms and do a tour in their neighborhood. It's really wonderful how proud we are of each of our neighborhoods. You just did it now, you know, Bay Ridge. Why aren't you doing tours in Bay Ridge? And it's so wonderful how.
Going to continue doing it several times too until you come to Bay Ridge.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing, and I don't think that there's a rivalry between each of the individual neighborhoods. It's more like if you're from a specific neighborhood in Brooklyn, you tout that more than anything else. That's where you're from, and you love it.
Terrific, Dom, our producer Jason has a question for you.
Hey Dom,
sure.
How's it going?
Hi, how you doing, Jay?
You were talking about some of the interesting things that are made in Brooklyn, and it just jogged my memory. And one of the things I remember, and maybe you can help me out even further, and I hate to put you on the spot if I am, but years ago, I recall, my dad was a huge, huge cowboy fan growing up as a kid. And later in life, he got into cowboy action shooting, where they would dress up in period garb and use period authentic equipment to do Western style shooting. And he always said that if he had to settle the Old West, we would have never expanded past Staten Island. But I recall a Henry Rifle Company being produced, the actual rifles that are period specific being produced in downtown Brooklyn. Does that ring a bell?
No, it doesn't. I wouldn't be surprised. Interesting story about that. I like to play pool, and I was looking to see who makes pool cues in Brooklyn, and then I was looking at companies that make cue cases, you know, that you carry your cue in when you go into a pool hall. Mm-hmm. And I went out to Dumbo, and I found a place called Fist, and I went up to go see the owner of Fist, and he not only made cases for pool cues, but he made gun holsters. and he had all these model guns in the holsters, but
for display purposes only,
company.
I'm sure.
Say again?
For display purposes only, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, they weren't real guns, but the holsters were real,
mm-hmm.
And that was his specialty in addition to cue cases. So I was quite surprised, but no, I'm not sure about guns that were made in Brooklyn. I wouldn't be surprised if they did it though.
You know, there is, let me jump in here, there is actually an ammunitions manufacturer, I believe. I hope this is not a national secret, but there's a gun manufacturer, I believe, on 9th Street in the Gowanus area of Brooklyn. And it's probably a little-known secret. Probably it is supposed to be a secret until I blabbed it on the air. But you know, there is a so you check it out, Dom, on your bicycle. But make sure you're on your bicycle when you if you have to get make a fast getaway.
Well, the interesting thing, though, I mean, don't forget the Brooklyn Navy Yard was in the business of making, making defense, doing defense manufacturing for quite a long time. So, and that today is an industrial center, a burgeoning industrial center. And I'm more interested, though, in those companies that are making it today and making something that, you know, is appealing to the general public today in Brooklyn. I think that's very interesting stuff. You mentioned Gowanus, that area, and there's a guy there, and he makes cutlery. That's a Cut Brooklyn, and it's just a very interesting operation. He makes cutlery for, obviously, for chefs and so on, and makes it right there in his location in Gowanus. I'm interested in the companies that do skincare products in Brooklyn, or maybe make chocolate and wine and ceramics in Brooklyn. I think that's very interesting stuff. And lots of furniture makers in Brooklyn. It's really surprising how they're all coming up with these interesting designs and producing the furniture in Brooklyn. Every one of my tours, practically, I have an innovative furniture maker, at least one. So just, very interesting stuff, and it's all appealing to the general public. That's what makes my tour so interesting to the guests, that they can come in and, you know, although these aren't, strictly speaking, shopping tours, people do come in, get ideas, and if they don't buy something on the spot, they usually think about it, maybe buy something later on, or at least tell people about it. Those are the main kind of places I go into, places that are making things that are available to the general public or teaching you how to make things. For example, in Dumbo, it is Recycle a Bicycle. You want a shop that could repair, a repair shop in Brooklyn. Probably the best bicycle repair shop in Brooklyn is Recycle a Bicycle. They recycle something like 1,200 bicycles a year, which is a very difficult thing. And if you want to learn how to do that, you can go there on a Wednesday night as an adult and help around the shop and learn how to tear apart an old bike and build up a new bike. It's very interesting.
Wow, and biking is starting to become huge in throughout many parts of Brooklyn. You see, during a morning rush hour, everyone's zooming down these various blocks and on what look like vintage bicycles, actually, to their jobs and leaving their car and the subway and the delivery car service behind. It's very, very interesting. Dom, when you started out in your business career, you were doing sales and business-related stuff for about 16 years. All of a sudden, you get the nerve up to, jump into a whole different field. Tell us what your first tour was like. Where was it, and what were some of the thoughts going on in your head as you gave your first tour?
Sure. Well, first of all, it was kind of a challenge for me. You know, I'm 43 years old now, and I was asking myself, what am I still capable of? You know, what can I do? And how could I do something that will make a difference? I mean, these tours are really, like I said, a production. I get all the businesses and organizations involved on my tours. And if I don't make it, well, if they don't make it, then I don't make it. Let me put it that way. So we're all kind of in this together. And my first tour was in Red Hook. And I have a lot of friends, so I invited them to come out on my tour. And I also got some people that, had no idea about, what I was doing, that found out about my tour and purchased tickets and came on my first tour. And it was really a wonderful experience. I was very nervous. I do have a lot of experience, going in public and talking to many people. But in this case, I had to be very careful because I had a lot of New Yorkers, and I had to make sure that I knew what I was talking about. So,
that'd be on the top of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I didn't know anything about – well, I shouldn't say anything. I didn't know much about Red Hook before I did this tour. I had to learn everything. I'm a member of two different historical societies, and I did a lot of research. And I put together a story that talks about Brooklyn's industrial history. It's the Industrial Revolution in Brooklyn, its decline, the reasons behind these things. and its resurgence and how it's coming back in a new way. So I was basically practicing and learning on the job how to do these tours and to weave this story in a way that was accessible to my guests. And they had a great time. You know, it was a mixture, like you said, of me and the people that we visited on the tour. And, you know, with regards to the companies that we visit or the organizations that we visit, I just say to them, look, just be you. You know, I don't want you to be anything different. I don't want you to act. Just be yourself. You know, you don't have to give us, a full factory tour every time we come into your place. Just, you know, I think it's interesting enough to find a company that has a vertically integrated chocolate making operation in Red Hook, where the guy owns the plantations in the Dominican Republic, owns the equipment, even designed some of it to make the chocolate in Brooklyn. And, and makes bars of chocolate and also chocolate liqueurs. I think that's interesting enough. People who come on my tours, their eyes open wide. They're like, wow, I can't believe they're actually doing this. And that word still is kind of removed from the vocabulary. We don't say, oh, they still make this here? You know, like it was, something that would be on a Jeopardy quiz. No, we're making things today. These things are readily available. These things do matter. And it's just very interesting stuff. So that first tour, you know, it was a wonderful experience. And at the end, I got a lot of positive feedback from everybody, not just the people on the tour, but the people that were on the tour, people that we visited. And it just gave me more and more faith that this is something that's good, that's going to pick up. And from there, I went and I designed and produced the Dumbo tour. And after that, the Williamsburg tour, which was one of the hardest tours to design. And then after that, the last one just recently, we just had the inaugural tour of the Made in Bessemer store, which was just a lot of fun. It was great.
So it sounds like your tour is very interactive, unlike what, you know, we may be thinking in our minds of that Manhattan tour bus. The tour guide says, look to the left, look to the right. You're sitting on the bus, you never get out. You're bringing people into these businesses, and the businesses are then putting on, in a sense, their own little production or little show for your guests.
That's right. Nothing against the sightseeing guides that work on those buses. That's a very difficult job. I'm a member of the Guides Association myself. There are over 250 sightseeing guides in that trade association. It's a very difficult job. But, yeah, you're right. In designing these stores, I veered away from the bus and even from the bicycle. Bicycle tours sound really cool, right? But a walking tour, it does lend itself to be a much more intimate encounter with the people that we visit on the tours. We get to go to places that you really can't access on a bus or a bicycle. It's also like a way that we could go at a more leisurely pace and really soak in the experience. So I think at the end of the tour, it's much more of, I look at the tour as more like a celebration of the entrepreneurial spirit of Brooklynites. And, you know, I think at the end of the tour, people feel like that. They feel, you know, hyped up about it and enthused and want to learn more about what's available in Brooklyn.
Well, Dom, you talked about the entrepreneurial spirit, and you're in a unique position to have sampled probably dozens or hundreds of different small entrepreneurs in Brooklyn. Is there a common thread among an entrepreneur? Is it sort of a David versus Goliath? I can do this better on a small scale. I can't turn out a million units. I can turn out 20 units, but those 20 are, you know, custom made and their quality. Is there a common thread you find among the entrepreneurs that you've talked?
Well, I think first of all, there's that resiliency factor, which I think it does exist in pretty much every place that we visit. They have a dream. They have a way of differentiating themselves in some way, and they're going to stick to it and invest in themselves, invest their money into this great idea that they believe they have. So I think that is a common thread. And I think that's a characteristic of Brooklyn that's still with us today. I think there's also this creativity. There's a lot of creativity in Brooklyn. If we don't make it in Brooklyn, we design it in Brooklyn. It's really amazing. So I think that that's another factor. People have to think out of the box. I'll give you a good example in Bensonhurst. There was a little party stall called BB's Corner on 85th Street and 18th Avenue. And, you know, their business, they wanted to expand. They've been there for a long time doing the same thing. And they wound up giving you the ability to make your own smokes using tobacco and tubes that they provide and boxes that they provide. You could create your own smokes and do so at a very reasonable cost. Now, I don't smoke myself. I'm glad my mother stopped smoking, you know. But on the other hand, I do feel that was a very innovative thing that they did. It was very creative, considering how the neighborhood has changed and how they wanted to stay in business. They still had that resiliency, and they needed a creative approach. So I think that's another thing. And this is also the ingenuity. I mean, I think people think out of the box. In Red Hook, there's a furniture maker, Jeremy Pickett Furniture, a very innovative guy. He makes bicycles out of bamboo. He uses different types of joinery techniques. He uses reclaimed wood or wood that is selected by his customers, and he'll go out and drive out to where the wood is grown, pick up the wood for the furniture. So I think there's that ingenuity, that innovativeness that's there as well. So I think those are three factors that I've been able to witness as I'm developing these tours. And as for myself, you know, I can't say I'm successful yet. I could say that, you know, this is the very first year. This month it'll be on February 24th, the full year that I've been in operation. And I have to say that I'm inspired by what I see is going on in Brooklyn today. I really am. I learn things all the time. Learn how to get people interested without pushing my product. I mean, I was in sales for 16 years, you know, trying to be very persuasive and, you know, type A personality, but that's not the only way you have to be. I mean, there are other ways to approach the business and to get people interested and pull them to you rather than push things on them.
Dom, give our listeners a little contact information if they want to follow up with you and your business.
Sure. If you want just the easy way, just look up Made in Brooklyn on Google and you'll see my website pop up. It's www.madeinbrooklyntours.com. My email address is dom@madeinbrooklyntours.com. I could also be reached at 917-747-1911. I think that's all you need to get a hold of me. I'm pretty accessible. I'm very approachable. I'm getting calls from not just people interested in coming on tours, but people who are interested in having me do custom tours for them as well. I just talked to a merchant association in Williamsburg that wants me to do a custom tour, doing another custom tour in June for the Cardinal Trade Group, which is kind of interesting. So, you know, those are the two different types of customers I cater to. Those who want to go on the regular tours and those that want me to do a custom tour that somehow includes one of my regular tours.
Dom, we have about a minute left. Give us your top five most interesting, if you can limit it to that, top five interesting and unique places in Brooklyn.
Sure. One of the top five, the Red Hook Winery. I think they're wonderful guys. They actually make wine in Brooklyn. And they use grapes from the North Fork of Long Island. Very interesting. I think that's number one for me. Flickinger Glass, another phenomenal place where they bend glass. Really interesting and great character there. I'm just a big fan of Leone's Italian Heroes in Bensonhurst. I think they make the best heroes in Brooklyn, if not all in New York City. So that would be number three. Another one for me would be... Would it be the Shops in Dumbo? This is like a little business incubator where you have all sorts of small shops that are making in Brooklyn today. And if I were to pick the last one, I would probably pick, that would be a hard one, but I would probably pick the Art House Co-op in Williamsburg, where they have a project where you could You could work on your own sketchbook according to a certain theme that you pick, and they publish that and digitize it so that people with a Brooklyn Art Library card could view the work online if they want, or check it out in their library in Williamsburg and read it or see it, look through it at their reference desk.
Well, Dom, we have a ton more questions to ask you, but we've run out of time, and we're going to welcome you back in the near future to tell us about the specifics of some of your tours, and we'd love to have you back. You're doing a great job promoting Brooklyn, and that helps all of us.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it, and I would love to come back in the future.
Dom, you were terrific. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Well, this concludes tonight's radio program. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for hosting our show, and thanks to our guest, Dom Gervasi of Made in Brooklyn Tours, for sharing his insights with us. This is How's New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people, and Dom Gervasi. Wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon, I am your host, Robert Howe.